Before the Lord came the first time, he sent someone who prepared his people before him, or for him. That was John the Baptist. And now, when the Lord is coming a second time to judge, and to judge the whole world, how much more does God need messengers on this whole world so that many people can be prepared for the coming of the Lord? When the Lord comes, he will come with judgment. I don't think it's so clear for many Christians. Christians may have very nice concepts about the Lord's second coming, but they don't think about what the prophets have said. In Malachi 3, at the very end, or in chapter 4, verse 5, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the nice day of the Lord. That's what you often hear when you speak with other believers about the second coming of the Lord. Then there's often the concept that everything will be so wonderful and so glorious. But that's not what the Word of God says. It's not what the Word tells us. And that's why he needs messengers. There's so many different concepts and opinions in Christians' heads, even in the minds of unbelievers, concerning what will happen when the Lord comes. What does the future look like? Yeah, unbelievers make a lot of plans about 2030, 2035, and whenever these plans come at work, I think this is the wrong plan. Nothing will be here anymore. Everything will be made to ashes. We should do something much different, and we should be diligent in other things. So that's why the Lord needs messengers, because the truth is written, but it is hidden from many hearts. The Bible is, you can find it in almost every hotel. It's found in every night table at the hotel, but the hearts remain in darkness, because it's not enough just for the book to exist, but the Lord needs living messengers who proclaim this word with boldness and who also live in this word. This is such a glorious assignment to live before his coming and to be those who prepare the way for the Lord. Don't you feel privileged? This is a glorious task. We all have a very glorious calling, and the Lord equips us for this. And this is what this weekend is for. Such a burden of the Lord to equip us now so that we can serve him and also many people. Yesterday, it was so clear as to why there's this gap between the beginning of the Abraham Accords last year in September to the beginning of the last 7 years. And we know what happens at the Feast of Tabernacles. The Lord will stick to the feasts. And every year there is the Feast of Tabernacles. So we're actually right now in the Feast of Tabernacles. So the conference is taking place during the Feast of Tabernacles. Hallelujah. It's very meaningful. The Lord has purposed a lot with this weekend. The Lord is coming. Prepare yourselves. Because if we're not prepared, the last two verses in Malachi 4 says, they say, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. So this was John the Baptist at the first coming of the Lord. But the Lord wants to make all of us to Elijahs. Now, this world also needs an Elijah, someone who speaks the word before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. This is our God and Father. Our hearts should be turned to him, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And the curse also means destruction. Yeah, it's a full destruction, complete destruction. Just like the Israelites were supposed to fully destroy the people in the good land. And this will happen. And this gives great weight to the ministry of being a messenger. If we think about what's coming, that the judgment of the whole world is coming, don't you have a burden to be a messenger? If you see the people that you meet every day and you think about what's going to come, that the whole world will be judged and that there will be a full destruction of all the people. Malachi 3:5 talks about this as well. Then don't you have a burden to speak the truth? Don't you have this desire to overcome? Then I think you wouldn't be able to do anything else. This has saved me really in the past few days when I didn't really know what to say or if I should say something, to think about this, to think about what is to come and to think about what man will face later. So let us really proclaim salvation because judgment is coming. And Malachi 2 already talks about the messenger. Malachi 2, 5 to 7. Because these verses talk about the person and the way a messenger should walk in his life. God doesn't want to just use anybody. God is righteous. He's holy. He's glorious. He can't just use anybody to be a messenger for his holy word. The Lord won't do this. He needs people who are prepared for this ministry. That's normal. Every country has ambassadors. They don't send just anybody who they find on the street to be the ambassador for their country. Okay, to say, all right, now you're going to be the ambassador for Germany in the U.S. Are you qualified for that? We'll just send you there and see what happens. Is that how it's done? No one does this, even in the world, to just make anybody an ambassador. And our king and our father doesn't do that either. It requires preparation. And Malachi 2:5 says, my covenant, God's covenant, was with him, with Levi, with the priests, and the priests are the messengers of the Lord. The messengers are the priests of the Lord. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace, and I gave them to him, that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent before my name. This is a basic characteristic of a messenger. The law of truth was in his mouth. So, yeah, a messenger has to speak, right? And injustice was not found on his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, or uprightness, and turned many away from iniquity. For the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. Amen. Wow. such a strong sentence, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. To be an ambassador for Germany, that's a pretty big mission to have. But we have a much higher calling. To be a messenger of the Lord of hosts is, wow. What a mission. What a assignment. And messengers have to have a certain way in which they walk. And it's with him in life and in peace. My covenant was with him, one of life and peace. This is the first and foremost point. His life has to be from God and in peace with God. If I do so many things every day that are against him, that offend him, and that I still live in sin and unrighteousness, how can I be a messenger of the Lord of hosts? In Romans, in the first 5 chapters, Paul shows us that everyone needs reconciliation with God. And after we have experienced the reconciliation, he wanted to give this message of reconciliation to others, but he realized that he had a problem. And the first problem is the body of sin. The body of sin. And how often is it the case with us, in those who believe in him, that there is still the fallen flesh? This flesh will not leave us until we are raptured or until we die. But for us, we say until the rapture. And then our body will be transformed. It will be put off and then the new body will come. But until then, every born again believer will have this body of sin. And this body of sin is what Paul speaks about in Romans 6. Because he shows us the way to be freed. And as I was fresh in my faith, I really had a hard time with the body of sin. I was really desperate. But I said, I want to overcome. And it has to be overcome, because otherwise how is it possible to serve the Lord? Can you open your mouth for the Lord when you just fell and when the enemy just put you in a pit and you just had filthy thoughts or you committed unrighteous deeds? Will you then have boldness to be a messenger of the Lord? In Psalm 51, we read about David. He could not even open his mouth after he committed this sin. But then he said, "Oh Lord, open thou my lips," because sin really closes our lips. So it is important to overcome this body of sin. Praise the Lord. So let's see what Romans 6 say about overcoming, or how we can overcome this body of sin. Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him. This is the old man who still obeys the sin within us. But it was crucified with him as Christ was crucified on the cross over 2,000 years ago, that the body of sin might be done away with. You have him. You have the body of sin, but it should not come to rule over us. Isn't it good to experience the release, to be free? Isn't it good to say, Lord, I have died with you, and through this, the sin no longer can rule over me, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We're here to serve God. And you cannot serve both at the same time. That just won't work. That's why we, as priests and messengers of the Lord, shouldn't just experience the forgiveness of sin. We need this as well. Every day, I need the blood of the Lord, yeah, to really wash away my sins, but that's not sufficient. It requires release from the dominion of sin, to be free from the lusts that want to rule in us, the lusts that live in our members, covetousness, fornication, uncleanness, and everything that is in our flesh and wants to rule over us. As priests and as messengers of the Lord, through his work, we have a new stand and we can say no to sin when it comes. When the lust comes, we are not debtors to the flesh and we can say, I hate this sin. I do not tolerate that sin would rule over me. My old man has been crucified with the Lord. Sin, you no longer have any right to touch me, to rule over me. It's not that effective to say, Lord, yeah, free me from sin. We have to resist. We have to take up our stand in the Lord to proclaim the victory of the Lord and to say, this sin, this thought can no longer rule in me. Praise the Lord. We have the power over sin through the Lord, that we can be free from the body of sin so that we can be messengers of the Lord. And we need this freeing every day anew. If you're free today, it doesn't mean that you will be free tomorrow or even years later. Every day, we need this experience anew, the experience of his death and his victory. And we've received this in our spirit. So let us not become negligent and think, well, I've been Christian for 30 years. Actually, in the Bible, it shows us the sin makes people fall in their old age. So actually, the longer you have been a believer, the greater and stronger the dealing with sin has to be. Otherwise, you will fall. Then the enemy is really crafty. We can't be naive. So praise the Lord. We can be freed from the body of sin. But not just from the body of sin. But in Romans 7, the next problem comes. The problem is the body of death. Verse 19. What is spiritual death? For the good that I will to do. So the ministry of being a messenger, that good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, namely maybe to get angry or to follow the world, that I practice. What is that? That is death. That is spiritual death. And this is also in our flesh. Have you never experienced this? When it's about, when it concerns the matters of the Lord, we say, oh, I'll do that tomorrow or maybe next week when I have time. But when I have a problem with my cell phone, then, oh, I'm going to work until midnight to try to figure out what the problem is. Or when it's about my work, I can work until late at night if there's a problem. But when it's about the prayer meeting or when it comes to the prayer meeting, then I just log myself in a little bit late. And then when I'm so tired, then I log myself out after 15 minutes. It sounds harmless, but it's not harmless. It's death. And the worst enemy is death. And I think among us Christians, our sentence for death is very weak. I'm not criticizing, but if we look at many of the church groups around us, there's so much death. They teach the Bible or doctrines from the Bible every week. And people go to certain seminars and do many things for the Lord sometimes. But the Lord doesn't look so much at what we do. But he says, my covenant with you is life and peace. This spiritual death has to be swallowed up. This weakness has to be swallowed up. And to just be in doctrine is not what he wants. Recently, I met a young Christian, and he says, I have the Bible app, and I said, wonderful. Don't just read it. Do it. And within him, a reaction came up. Oh, that's not so easy. And he needs forgiveness. And I said, amen. I also need forgiveness. A lot of forgiveness. But where does this weakness come to do the word? That's the death. And that's not the condition in which we should remain. This death has been swallowed up by the Lord in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And in Isaiah, it already says, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise the Lord. And we have to apply this in our own daily life. If I realize that I can't do what the Lord speaks in the meetings, and it doesn't become my life, and then I have to go to the Lord and say, amen, our covenant is with you is one of life and peace, the resurrection life. This is the covenant that we have as messengers of the Lord. Swallow up all the death in me. Make me living for the meeting. Make me living for the prayer. Make me living to serve you. Isn't it good to be living in the festal gathering? Isn't it good when we're at the, or is it nice when we're half dead at the feast? No, we should be living. And what's dead, actually? It's this body. There's tiredness in there and everything else. So it's good to apply the life of the Lord, his resurrection life. My covenant with him was life and peace. And where does this come from? And I gave both to him. I really treasured this in these days. He gives us both. If you're free from sin and you're free from death, what do you have? You have peace and you have peace with God. If we're so dissatisfied within and have no peace within, then let us cry out to him so that we would receive life and peace. And I gave both of them to him that he might fear me. So he feared me and was reverent for my name. And recently, we've had fellowship about the fear of the Lord. And I think the true fear of the Lord, not being scared of him or something strange, but to have this true reverence for him, grows together with spiritual maturity. It goes hand in hand with spiritual growth. So if you look at how Paul served the Lord and how he spoke in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he said he was so fearful to speak of his own, out of his own wisdom. Paul wasn't scared, but he knew that if he were to use his own wisdom and capabilities to be God's messenger, it would bring about damage for himself and to those whom he spoke to. So in our knowledge of God, the more we know him, the more we get the fear of God to not just do anything. He who has the fear of God is not so quick to do things, to do something right away when we see that there's a problem. It's good if we see a growth in our life as messengers of the Lord. That's a good sign. If there's difficulties not to pick up the phone and talk to someone else about it, and to talk to this person who is affected by the problem and to think about what to do. But the first thing we should do is talk to the Lord. That is what characterizes the fear of the Lord. Amen. And he feared me and was reverent before my name. Thank the Lord. Hebrews 12 says we should serve God. Serve him in godly fear. To serve him, we need a certain amount of godly fear to not just do anything, but to do what he tells us to do. Not more, not less. Amen. Oh, Lord, that we would grow in life and also have the fear of the Lord when we serve him. And then, in verse 6, it says, the law of truth was in his mouth, and injustice was not found on his lips. And verse 7 says, for the lips of a priest should keep knowledge, and people should seek the law from his mouth. Our lips is it's a very important area for a messenger. If the Lord doesn't reign in us, then we have a lot to say, and then we have a lot to repent for. I think someone who speaks a lot cannot get away with that. We'll have a lot of sin also to ask for repentance for. This is an important exercise to ask the Lord, are my lips consecrated to you? I don't know if you've actually prayed this before. Lord, I consecrate my lips to you. I don't want to speak anything but what you speak. The lips of a messenger have to truly be consecrated to the Lord. It's a holy instrument for the Lord. I can't just chit-chat and then talk for God and speak for God. As Isaiah saw God in his glory on the throne, how did he react? He said, did he say hallelujah? He said, woe is me, for I am a man with unclean lips. And I dwell among a people with unclean lips. Is this not the case? When I'm in the world, sometimes I realize the biggest difference between a worldly person and a spiritual person is recognizable by the lips. Sometimes I can't stand being with people for more than just 2 minutes because of what comes out of their mouth. The lips say very much about what's in our heart because it comes out of our heart. And as a messenger of the Lord, it is important to consecrate our lips to the Lord, to say, Lord, yeah, touch my lips with fiery coals, coals from the altar. We're training our kids at home. When they speak nonsense, I tell them, then be careful with your mouth, what you speak, because the Father sees what you speak. That they don't just speak nonsense or say things that hurt other people. These are kids. But we are priests of the Lord. And our lips should keep the law. Sometimes to keep silent is really the best thing to do. But of course, in the meeting, we should speak what the Lord wants us to speak. And also when we're in the world, when I'm with my colleagues at work and I speak just without considering what I'm saying, and the strength to speak what the Lord wants me to speak at a decisive moment, then that's gone. That chance is gone. Have you experienced that before where you're together with colleagues and somehow you let yourself talk with them? And then the opportunity comes to speak about the Lord, and then you realize, now my lips are shut. To keep our lips means also to keep our lips closed when we shouldn't say anything, and to open our mouth when we should say something. This is especially the case when we're in the world. To pray inwardly, and when the opportunity is there to speak the word, then it gives us the strength to speak the word. like Lot in the Bible. He lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And he was very influenced from the sin that was there. And as the angels came and announced the judgment that would come, and they said, Lot, speak to all those people who are in the city so they would still have a chance to repent and come out. Genesis 19. Genesis 19:14. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, he wanted them to be saved. He said, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. It was a joke for them. It was like a joke for them. This is really a disaster. And then his sons-in-law, they died. Because the messenger was not sanctified. So may the Lord be gracious to us. Save us, that our lips would be sanctified, that we can speak what the Lord wants us to speak, and not speak when the Lord doesn't want us to speak, so that there would truly be salvation, and it wouldn't be like this, where the sons-in-law of Lot were subject to judgment. I think had Abraham spoken to them, they would have listened, because that man sanctified himself. Malachi 2:6, he walked with me in peace and equity or uprightness. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he walked with God. To walk with God in our daily life. To live with God throughout the whole day. The Lord is living. The Lord wants us to pay attention to Him in our daily life. Revelation 14. See what it means to really walk with Him. Revelation 14:4 concerning the first fruits. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. Amen. Who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. The Lord surely has much prepared for us in our daily life, and He wants to bring us into this. But for this, He needs those who walk with Him. If the Lord wants to visit somebody and speak the word to him, but I have another plan, then how can God speak to this person? God wants to walk there, but I want to walk in another direction. Then salvation cannot come to this person. But if we walk with God, and I'm sure you have had these types of experiences, when we walk with Him, then we walk from one opportunity to the next. And from one to the next to serve Him and to bring His word to others. Isn't it so precious to have these types of experience? To go from one prepared work to another? Yeah, and to go, continue to go to the next thing that the Lord has prepared. If we look at the Gospel of Mark, and always says, then the Lord went there, and then the Lord went there. The Lord always went from one opportunity to the next, to the opportunities that God, the Father had prepared for Him, because He walked with Him. The Father went before Him, and then the Lord followed Him. They went hand in hand. He said, I and the Father are one. And this is the only way to be a messenger of the Lord. Which one of us knows who's open today already? How many of us know if or where the good opportunities are today? If I start to the day, I have started to get used to not making so many plans. Before I used to think maybe I should plan the whole week. And then I realized at some point it doesn't work. And then when the Lord said, just follow me. Sometimes we have so many plans, what we want to do and where the Father wants to go and what He wants to do doesn't take flight. But here it says, He walked with me. So on the one hand, it's very relaxing because you don't have to break your head or like think a lot about what you have to do. Of course, we have to do a lot of things. You have to go grocery shopping. You have to plan a lot for the conference. And if all of this has to be done, and I'm just in my own head to think about this and how to plan everything, it won't work. But I said to the Lord, I want to walk with you. And the Lord said, now do this with your sons. And then now you prepare. And now you go grocery shopping. And then take time again for me. It's so wonderful. Why do we want to go our own way? Why do we want to be wise ourselves? It is much better to walk with Him. It's much better to let the Lord be our boss and to follow Him the whole day in all things. Then regardless of how much there is to do, then the will of the Lord can be done. Then you're not overburdened or underburdened. And I really enjoy this. And if we don't do this, then you'll realize very quickly that the peace is missing. That's why it says He walked with me in peace and uprightness. He wants us to walk with Him in peace and uprightness, in righteousness. We have to take care of our conscience, because the conscience also shows us the way in which we should go. So wonderful to be a messenger of the Lord, to walk with Him. Amen. In peace and uprightness. And then it says, and He turned many away from iniquity. Hallelujah. In these last few days, I really thought about this word, many. It doesn't say a few, it says many. I don't know how it'll happen, how it should happen. But I've told the Lord again and again, your word says many. Then, Father, turn many. Use each one of us. And actually, we need a lot of people. If you count up all the people we meet during the week, each one of us. Let's see, Clayman, maybe he meets 30 people a week, and Benno meets 50 people during the week. And then if we're 100 people, at the end, we have a lot of people, 10,000 people. 1,000 people at least, whom we meet every week. And if 1,000 people meet messengers of the Lord every week, wouldn't this be wonderful? So that's why here it says many. It's important for us to be awake, that what Malachi says here would really come into our lives. Freedom from sin, freedom from death, to pay attention to Him, to preserve our lips, to let the word dwell in us, to make ourselves available for Him, to speak the truth when the opportunity is there. And the result will be that this messenger will turn many away from iniquity. Hallelujah. I really have the desire for this. Yeah, and I think the Lord gives us much joy to carry out this ministry. So wonderful to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going into this day to bring many away, turn many away from iniquity, regardless of where I am, wherever the Lord sends us. Malachi 3 says, I send my messenger. Actually, you have no choice as to where you should go, because the Lord tells you where you should go. And then He is with you, and He also works. And if the Lord wants to work through us, then something is always necessary. It's always to have a heart for the people with his love. If God is so full of love and wants to save the people, but my heart is as cold as a fridge, then the message won't really come across well. It won't work. I've often told the Lord recently, Father, give me a heart for the people. I need this heart from you because I don't have it myself. And what kind of heart does God have for God, does God have for the people? Titus 3:3. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the wrath of the Lord came? No. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. God has such a heart for fallen man. And that's why it's so important that the Lord would work this burden into our hearts to love the sinners as God loves them. Yeah, we should, as messengers, we should speak as the one who sends us speaks. And I believe and trust he will work this into us if we ask him, because the Spirit is a spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. It is exactly there to save our souls so that the love of God for man would be in our hearts. And with this love and with this burden, yeah, Paul was really filled. This verse in Romans really touched me. I tell you the truth in Christ. Romans 9:1. Yeah, 9:1 and 2, it says, I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. And he says, I have prayed. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. He really had a burden for the people around him. And he really had prayer. Yeah, in German it doesn't say, for I could wish. It says, I prayed. So the heart for the people grows with prayer for the people. These two things are connected. If we pray for certain people, then we get a heart for them. And if the Lord works in our hearts, then we will pray for these people. And Paul prayed in such a strong way. Yeah, with great sorrow and continual grief in his heart. I told the Lord, I don't have this, but work this into me so that prayer would work. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Messengers of the Lord, the priests, are those who have a burden for all people, for each one, that many would be turned away from iniquity. Because in verse 4 of the same chapter, it says God desires all men to be saved. Can you imagine that? God really wants all men who live on this earth to be saved. This is what is in his heart. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He has such a heart for mankind. That's why it's important for us to pray, because to speak without praying is not good. It's like wanting to walk through a door, but not opening the door. That's what Paul says in Colossians 4. Pray that God would open us the door to speak the mystery of Christ. To go out and speak without praying is like trying to walk through a locked door. I think we've also experienced this. So it really requires our prayer. Amen. And then the Lord will give us many open doors. And this is so wonderful to be a messenger of the Lord. Yeah, may the Lord strengthen each one of us that we would lead such a life as priests of the Lord, and that we would be messengers of the Lord of hosts, especially in these times. Our brother will continue to share to us what we should proclaim as messengers of the Lord of hosts. This was so wonderful. I can only strengthen the word. Praise the Lord. Just want to strengthen this point about prayer. This prayer is so effective and so necessary for the messengers. I read in Esther recently, and this point of prayer really moved me. And the whole situation there, it was very political. It was about someone who was very in high position. That man really had a lot of money. He really had a lot. And he wanted to do away with all the Jews because he had this hatred towards them. And then he had 10,000 talents and weighed them. It was like 4 or 5 billion of euros were given so that he could push this law through. Often that's how things work today too. And Mordecai, the one who feared God, he told Esther, you have to do something. And she didn't want to do anything. She's like, I don't want to mix myself into this whole thing. Just tell me what you want me to do is against the law. But he said, you have to look to God to see what really counts. And what Esther then did is she said, okay, come with all your people together, fast and pray for 3 days. And I also want to fast and pray. And she said she will do, she said she would do the same thing with the women there. And what she said to the king shows that she really fasted and prayed before the Lord to ask the Lord, what should we do? A man would not come to this idea alone. The king could not sleep anymore. And he took the book and looked through the book. And he wanted to reward someone for this deed. And he sees Mordecai mentioned. I can just encourage you to read this story again. You see his sovereign dealing in this whole situation through prayer and through fasting and prayer. That's our burden. That we would see that the Lord has called us to be messengers. And we're living in a very special time. We've heard it, but have we really seen and understood it in our hearts? That's another matter. So that's what Malachi says. He wants to make us to messengers for these last times. In all ages, he needed messengers like the prophets. But in Malachi, it says that he sends a messenger before him. in order to have a people prepared for him. And through the prophets, you see, when the Lord comes, he needs something special. At the first coming, we see that it was John the Baptist who prepared the way for him. In Isaiah 40, it says it's a voice in the wilderness who prepared the way of the Lord. And this was already fulfilled. But then in Isaiah 40, it talks about the second coming of the Lord. It says in verse 9, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, you who bring good tidings. At his second coming, it's a cooperative messenger. It says, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem. It is the center of God's house, the center of God's plan. These are the ones who bring good tidings. So it's not just about one person. In the context, you see that it's not just about one person. It says to speak to the cities of Judah. Yeah, we want to build a heavenly Jerusalem today. In Hebrews, it says you have come to the church, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to Mount Zion, where the worship takes place, where all the offerings were brought. And today, in the New Testament, built up church is the house of God, where he is being served by priests. And Zion and Jerusalem should go out with spirit and life. And today, in the New Testament, all of us Christians should be this messenger. Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. This is also what the Lord says in Revelation. The Lord is coming quickly. What Isaiah is talking about is not the first coming of the Lord. It's talking about the second coming of the Lord, that he is coming quickly and his reward is with him. This is what the last book of the Bible also emphasizes and what the prophet already spoke about here. That's why the Lord gives us this commission today. He wants to have a prepared people, an equipped people. That's why the Lord needs messengers. And I thought it was good, as Christian said, it's a glorious assignment or commission to prepare a people for the Lord. Of course, it also happens during the meetings like this. But how much more should we speak in our daily life to others? That there we would speak to the Christians and also to the unbelievers. It doesn't have to be someone great. The smallest priest is a messenger of the Lord. We see this in many examples in the spirit, in the scriptures. There were people who seemed to be not of great meaning, but the Lord mentions some every now and then, or the Lord mentions people who walked with the Lord. Good to plan our daily life with the Lord. Sometimes it's not big things, But it, like with Ananias, he said, go into the street and you will meet someone named Saul. This was just out of his fellowship with the Lord. And this shows that the Lord wants to use us as messengers today as well. And this is in our daily life. When we have such a voice. When we want to be a, such a voice for him. It's good to have a heart for the people around us, as it was said. To have God's heart for the people. Just one more point. A messenger has a soft heart. But the Lord also gives us a forehead made of flint. If we read this in Ezekiel, says that he was really a faithful priest. He went through so many things. I thank the Lord that we don't have to go through such harsh things as messengers today. But the Lord called him, and we have to see the glory of the Lord. We have to say, Lord, let me see your glory. Because Ezekiel had to see his glory first, to see the one who is seated on the throne. Sometimes I have to say, recently I started to become fearful about things. And I thought, well, I'm not usually scared, but then I started to be fearful. And then I turned to the Lord and I realized that he sits on the throne and the fears were gone immediately. Yeah, we have to show, look unto the Lord to see how he has created heaven and earth. And he alone is able. And as Ezekiel saw the glory and received the scroll to eat, he said, I will also give you a forehead made of flint. Sometimes when people don't want to hear the word, I say, oh, okay, then I won't say anything. But the Lord wants to give us a forehead that's harder than those of the people. I want to experience this. I don't have much experience yet. That's why I'm not going to speak too much about it. But the Lord gives us a soft heart, but a hard forehead. Lord, equip all of us. Yeah, give us a soft heart and a hard forehead. Let's take a quick break.